Good morning. My wife and I, Elaine, would like to send greetings from Nanaimo. And I have the honor of doing the public reading this morning, Philippians 4, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and gracious and loving God, we thank you for the many wonderful things that you do. We thank you for the word that you have given us through the instrument of men writing these words down, your words, to speak to us. We pray for our brother Neil as he comes to take these words now and present them to us. We pray that our hearts will be opened, our minds will be in tune to what you have to say for us. We thank you for all the things that go on in our lives, even times like these, which are very confusing through the pandemic, but we know that you are in control of everything. We just thank you that we can come to you openly and freely here and to praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Kai. It's amazing to see you out there on the West Coast to be participating in our time together. If I could just have a thumbs up if people can see my slides and hear my voice. Very good. So this came to me when I was out for a run a while back, and I was thinking about anxiety that had crept into my own life concerning some cardiac conditions. And I reflected on these verses that Kai has just read, and you know, trying to force ourselves to think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable and noble. And I realized that I was going to be preaching a sermon on Mother's Day, and I started to reflect on my own mother and really so many of the mothers I know. And so today we're going to go through this passage, contemplate what it has to say to us about anxiety, and look at how we might use some cognitive tasks that are prescribed by the Bible to deal with anxiety, and also kind of as an homage to mothers. And I'll be using mothers of the Bible and other women in the Bible to be a representative kind of icon of things we should be thinking about during times of anxiety. So it came to my attention about 20 years ago that I was an anxious person. And I don't think I would have ever really told you that before, but about 20 years ago, I was quite convinced I had the disease, Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS. And went through a bunch of medical tests, and I was really very anxious about that, quite afraid, and actually saw a counselor to deal with some of that anxiety at the time. And so this idea of, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Well, anxiety just says, well, I'm glad you asked, because we can always find an anxious response to some of these negative questions. And so I speak to you today, not as someone who has solved the anxiety issues in my life, but one who is still suffering from them, as kind of a co-participant on this journey through life together. Anxiety, the lifetime prevalence for people in the United States, especially between the ages of 13 and 18, and the cohort between 18 and 24 is staggering. 32% of 13 to 18-year-olds in the United States have an anxiety disorder, and about 10% have a severe impairment related to their anxiety. So this is big stuff affecting our world. The prevalence in young women up to 38%, and this is pre-pandemic data. So anxiety disorders are staggering in their prevalence. It's very interesting. If you look at data, much like this data, you'll find that anxiety disorders, depression, other mental health problems started to skyrocket in 2008. And what happened in 2008? The iPhone was introduced. And I think it changed the way we view life in many ways. This is data from military recruits exposed to anxiety. These are people who would expect to be tough. But still, the medical encounters for anxiety gone up about 500% in the last 12 years. This was up to 2012. So kind of staggering amounts of anxiety. As we all have to wear our masks to go outside during COVID, I think we would all acknowledge that anxiety is going higher in its prevalence. It's pervasive. It can be severe. It can cause people to go to the emergency room, to drop out of life. It can lead to significant impairment. This is a significant condition in our world. Since COVID, look at that bottom bar graph. U.S. adults, so this is not the young generation, but those over 21, reporting anxiety or depression. In 2019, 11%. In 2020, 42%. So a 400% increase. That's staggering data. So let's look at this a bit. We have thoughts in our minds, and our thoughts are things that lead to feelings. You heard me speak about this when I talked about love. Think about love. Think about being the love you want to feel. Thinking first, then feelings, and our feelings lead to behaviors, and then our behaviors go back and lead to more thoughts. And so if we can control our thought life, the Bible says, take every thought captive, then we can control our feelings and we can control our behavior. And that would be a wonderful thing if that could take place in our lives. And clinicians know that there's a whole bunch of multiple areas of difficulty that come with anxiety. So we start with the cognitive domain, things we think about. What if I get sick? What if I can't make it on time? What if I fail? And that leads to emotional things, fear, dread, panic, physiological things. My muscles get tense. My heart rate goes up. I sweat. I feel sick. And then I don't do things because I want to reduce anxiety. So I retreat from issues. This crazy web that so many of us get trapped in. And I am one of these people. So clinicians use what's called cognitive behavioral therapy as well as medications. The medications don't have a particularly great track record, so cognitive behavioral therapy is what's used mostly amongst psychologists, and all apologies to my friend Dr. Mogilevsky, and I hope he has no significant critique for my words today. But cognitive behavioral therapy takes talk therapy and our linear thinking. We go to negative outcomes. I'm going to fail. I will never succeed. I'm a screw up. Nothing's going to work right. Versus reframing those thoughts and coming to a positive outcome. So cognitive behavioral therapy is about reframing your thoughts, reframing your cognition. That changes to different feelings and to different behaviors. These are the things we want to see happen. Try some of these cognitive issues on for size. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't focus on anything. And instead of saying that, maybe I say, you know what? A lack of focus is normal during stress. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm not being as self-critical. The world is upside down. We're all doomed. Catastrophic thinking. Our world is going through massive changes. Chaos often precedes great change. You see this exercise, taking every thought captive, a scriptural mandate, a scriptural idea. Well, as Kai has read for us, God had a reframing plan, and I won't read it again, but we're going to spend quite a bit of time going through this reframing plan that God prescribed over 2,000 years ago. It's very interesting because it's basically identical to cognitive behavioral therapy, one of the most common practices used amongst modern psychologists. So God's idea is this idea of thinking. The word fix your mind or think on these things, it's a deep reckoning, a deep consideration, a meditation, 2,000-year-old framing of how we think. Biblical. So I came across this idea, and I love acronyms. If you talk to my wife, everything I'll try to say is an acronym. It's how I remember things. And this acronym is born out of Philippians 4. So consider, think, meditate on, and indeed practice things that are pure, lovely, admirable, noble, excellent, true, praiseworthy, and right. And we'll go through some of these today, really focusing on women of the Bible, women in general, mothers, or obviously our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I want to give an anxiety disclaimer. And what I mean by that is that it's a mystery in the verses we just read where it says, be anxious for nothing. I think we have to take from that that it's possible for us not to be anxious, not to be people who are caught in this disorder of worry that interrupts our functioning in life. So I want to testify to you that I have not over, and that these mental health issues are complicated. Many of us suffer from mental health issues. It's not just a sinful behavior that I can pray away. It's very complicated. So that's my disclaimer. But there must be ways here. If this is a prescription from God himself, we should fill that prescription. The passage begins with rejoice. Again, I say it again, rejoice. Really rejoicing in all things, like it says in 1 Thessalonians. And acknowledging the Lord is near. If I'm full of worry, it's like God doesn't exist. But I'm not full of worry. Oh, the Lord is right next to me when I'm trapped in that anxiety. The Lord is near. Those beautiful verses, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety is a disorder of mostly the heart and the mind. And it's so beautiful that we have this prescription for us. We pray that it would be an efficacious prescription. After that beautiful exhortation to pray and to let peace come on our hearts and our minds, then the author of Philippians goes into these simple cognitive reframing tasks. Exercises to replace anxious thoughts with thinking on positive things, pure, lovely, admirable, noble, you know the group. Some types of meditation talk about emptying your mind. This type of meditation is filling your mind, thinking, considering, reckoning, meditating, filling our mind with these positive areas, and then put them into practice, as Paul says. And the first part of that chapter, it says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the last part says, the God of peace will guard you. So the peace of God and the God of peace, this beautiful circular idea of peace in God in our heart. So fixing our thoughts. Let's process these ideas today using some women from the Bible. Well, let's explore some of the common anxieties. When we have our English classes, And we have people from all over the world come to our English classes. It's so amazing to speak with these people. And one of the common things they say of their country of origin is they fled the area because of corruption. Everything was corrupt, and they found less corruption in Canada. It's very easy to get anxious over corruption. So if I'm thinking of corruption and all the terrible things happening in the world, again, this proverb, be careful what you think of because your thoughts run your life. Thoughts lead to feelings, feelings lead to behaviors. So what's the opposite of corruption? Well, I think it's reasonable to say that it's purity. And that word kind of from purity in the Greek text, clean, innocent, modest, perfect. It's not just sexual purity. So let's think on something that's pure, and I would offer up Mary, the mother of Jesus. So if I'm feeling weighed down by anxiety, I'm thinking of something pure, Lord. Ah, Mother Mary, I'm thinking of Mary. The Blessed Mother of Jesus, blessed are you among women, it says in Luke 1:42, a young, poor girl, teenager from a town viewed as an insignificant town. She was the embodiment of purity. She possessed faith, integrity, humility, and a deep love and reverence for God with her husband, Joseph. Mary is an example of purity. Here's Mary's song. I just have to move you guys over so I can see her. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy, his name is holy. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. I'm anxious. Think of the pure Mary. Don't just think of purity, but we're asked to practice purity. And I think many of us go to this notion of sexual purity. Philippians 2, verses 14 to 16 gives us some insight into how to practice purity. And it's simple. Don't be somebody who grumbles and argues. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Interesting. So if I'm searching to practice purity, stop grumbling, stop arguing. We can start that right away. Think and practice. During COVID, many people have been isolated and we're anxious over being alone. It's a real struggle for us in many ways. I'm anxious about being alone. Think on something lovely. How about think on your mother? This word lovely is something that's pleasing, acceptable, graceful. And I think of the mothers I've had in my life, both my mom and my mother-in-law, as being lovely. So my mom had a complicated story. She was born in England, and her father died in World War I, and her stepfather was injured in World War I and died shortly after marrying my grandmother. As a consequence, my grandmother was in substantial poverty, and my mom and her had to do menial tasks to kind of make ends meet. My mom here is about 65 in this picture, and the age is important because it's at that time that she went to court to fight mandatory retirement. And there's actually a Supreme Court case about my mom where she prevailed and was able to work past the age of 65, and worked until the age of 70. Between the ages of 65 and 70, she got her Bachelor of Education degree. She had started teaching when she was 50. And so I just think of my mom as a lovely person. So if I'm anxious, I can conjure up my mom. And I also want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law, who became one of my heroes later in her life. She was a lovely woman. And I missed both of them a lot on this Mother's Day. So when I'm anxious, I can think of these things that are lovely, reframe my world. It's a useful task for us. There's that iPhone that coexists with the increase in mental health disorders really across the board. It's worthwhile thinking of why that association would exist. But I'm anxious over the selfishness and self-centeredness of our society. Well, I can think on the admirable, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are admirable, well-spoken of, commendable acts. And we can think of Tabitha. In Joppa, where was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. Okay, society is terrible. Everyone's self-centered. No, there was Tabitha, an admirable woman. Her story gets even more crazy. She was raised from the dead by Peter in those original chapters of the book of Acts. And she inspired these things called Dorcas societies, where people still to this day, for about 200 years, have given clothes to the homeless. Dorcas societies, named after Tabitha, an admirable woman. In our own midst, I think of people like Eunice and Mrs. Headland, who are doing admirable acts all the time and have lived their lives that way. And I would like to acknowledge them today. I can be ashamed over my failures, although failures aren't necessarily something we should be ashamed of because we don't get anywhere without trying. I think many of us spend too much time here with, you know, moral failings and other types of failings and kind of live in this place. And I would remind us that there is no condemnation. If you're feeling something heaping up on you, shame and bad about yourself, probably not the voice of the Lord. He does speak to us this way. He does not condemn those who are in Christ Jesus. I love Romans 8:1. It gives me great comfort when I'm feeling those negative voices come into my head. Things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And how about noble? Well, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, is described as honorable, venerable, or dignified. And on Mother's Day, what a great way to think of both her and Mary. Luke 1 says that Elizabeth and Zechariah, together they lived honorably before God. Careful keeping Careful in keeping the ways of the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience before God. So I can have this. I just have to make a decision to try and live nobly. They were honorable. Another word for noble. Think and practice these things. And this is how we help reframe the anxiety that's going through our hearts. I feel so anxious when I think how far I've drifted away from God. It's easy to think about that during tough times or even during successful times where we start taking credit and feeling pride. We drift away from God. What can I think of when I'm feeling anxious? Oh man, I have screwed up again. I am far from God. I love this story, the story of an excellent act by someone who might not be considered excellent. This is the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair. Her identity is mysterious. We don't really know who she is. Some people think she's Mary of Bethany. Some people think she's Mary Magdalene. We really don't know. But fix your eyes on something excellent, this excellent act, a gracious act by a person who was not necessarily sinless. Let's listen to what we read about her. From Luke 7. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, so Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat at the table. A sinful woman, listen to how she's described, a sinful woman in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind Jesus at his feet, crying. She began to wash his feet with her tears. What a beautiful image. And she dried them with her hair, kissing them many times and with perfume. When the Pharisee, who asked Jesus to come into his house, saw this, he thought to himself, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know that the woman touching him is a sinner. Jesus said to the Pharisee, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, Jesus, tell me. Jesus said, two people owed money to the same banker. One owed 500 coins and the other 50. They had no money to pay what they owed, but the banker told them that if they did not have to pay him, which person will love the banker more? Simon, the Pharisee, answered, I would think it'd be the one who owed him the most money. Jesus said to Simon, you are right. Then Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss or greeting, but she has been kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. I tell you that her many sins are forgiven. So she showed great love. But the person who is forgiven only a little will only love a little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The people sitting at the table began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, because you have believed, you are saved from your sins. Go in peace. What a beautiful story there in the Gospels. What a beautiful story. So if I'm feeling anxious about all my problems, I can still do an excellent act. Practice being forgiven and forgiving. Don't be anxious over your past. Jesus will forgive you. That is a beautiful truth, a beautiful truth. It's very easy to get anxious in our current culture about all the misinformation and disinformation and fact-checking. What can you believe? It's very difficult to try to find the truth. And I can get very anxious about this. But the scripture tells us in Philippians 4 to think of things that are true. Pastor Mark taught me early in his ministry that the truth is a person. So if I'm trying to think on something that is true, I think on Jesus. He himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So when people say, I have my truth and you have your truth, nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus is the truth. So if I'm trying to get away from anxiety, I'm supposed to think on things that are true. I think on my master. I think on Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord is near. My anxiety should try to ebb away as I realize the Lord is near. So again, the scripture doesn't just say to think, it says to practice them at the end of verse 9. Think and practice. From Hebrews 12, we read, fix our minds on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that word fix is to look away intentionally from something to something else, and to consider that other thing attentively. Again, this cognitive behavioral reframing, focus, taking our thoughts captive. Right now, it's easy to get worried about the world. Pastor Mark started our service going through the third wave data that we have here in Winnipeg and Manitoba. What's our future going to be like? How will we get by? Can I ever do anything of value again in the future? Will we ever get back to normal? There's so much anxiety that can swirl around our today. But I love this saying, worrying doesn't take away tomorrow's trouble. It just takes away today's peace. And we're supposed to be pursuing here the peace that transcends all understanding. So if I'm anxious over the future, I want to consider something worthy of praise, pure, lovely, admirable, noble, excellent, true, and praiseworthy, a commendable act, worthy of approval. And I'm going to give you another woman from the Bible who may not jump right to mind, but the Samaritan woman that met Jesus at the well did a very commendable thing. If we consider her situation, she came from a different religious sect, one that wasn't supposed to be hanging out with the Jewish people. Jesus kind of got out from her that she'd had quite a stormy history of relationships. She had had five husbands, was not living with a man who is now her husband. And so could have been considered of ill repute, bad reputation. But Jesus reached out to her in love. Again, I love this story. And what happened? What made her praiseworthy? She teaches us that our past does not have to control our future. When we meet Jesus, we are born again. Listen to this. So she meets Jesus, then says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of town and made their way towards him. And it says many of her fellow Samaritans believed. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. She perhaps was the first missionary. So again, I love this constant in the Gospels. People who have backgrounds that are not perfect or not stellar, Jesus uses them to spread his word, to teach us about his wonderful wonderful ways with us. So I'm trying to think of something that would help me with my anxiety. I can think of the Samaritan woman. Even though her past was checkered, Jesus used her as one of his first missionaries. When I feel like I don't measure up, it's easy for me to get anxious. I feel this professionally. I feel this as getting like an old man trying to be athletic. I can't measure up to other people's expectations of me, not to mention God's expectations of me when I have moral failings. And it's easy to get anxious in those examples. I love this picture. I really hope you can see it on your screen. The righteousness of Jesus being put on the sinner's back. And each of us have this opportunity to take that picture. We are covered by his righteousness. If I'm feeling anxious about my life, I have the cloak of righteousness on me. I'm going to think of the righteous one himself. From 2 Corinthians 5. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. I can think of things that are righteous. I can think of Christ and how he puts me up to God as righteous. So I've been thinking of things that are pure. I think of Mary. I'm thinking of things that are lovely. I think of my mom. I think of my mother-in-law. I'm thinking of things that are admirable, and I'm going to think about Tabitha. I think of things about that are noble. I think about Elizabeth. I'm thinking about things that are excellent, and I think about that woman using her tears and her hair to wash and clean Jesus' feet. I'm thinking about things that are true, and I think of Jesus himself. I think of things that are worthy of praise, and I think of the beautiful act of the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. And I think of things that are righteous, and I think of Christ. And I hope that the peace of God can start coming into my heart, and the God of peace can reveal himself to me. And what if I have no peace? Well, I think if we have no peace, we are probably ruminating and thinking on things that are not pure. I'm thinking about things that are not lovely. I'm thinking about things that are not admirable, certainly not noble. I'm thinking about things that are full of crap, not things that are excellent. I'm thinking about a bunch of falsehoods, a bunch of lies, not the truth. I'm thinking about things that God would condemn, not things that are worthy of praise. And I'm thinking about things that are wrong, not things that are right. Perhaps some of my anxiety comes from where I'm letting my thoughts go. Take every thought captive. So Paul says, don't just think about these things, put them into practice. From Philippians 4, verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. So let us think about things that are pure and put them into practice. Let us think about things that are lovely and be lovely. Let us think about things that are admirable and choose to live that way. Let us think, consider, meditate on things that are noble and try to be noble. Let us think about things that are excellent and strive for that to be commendable in God's eyes. To think about Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And to live a life characterized by that truth. To think about things that are worthy of praise when I'm anxious. And to be a person who gives praise to God. And to live rightly. To think about things that are right. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for this chance to be together through Zoom with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this beautiful prescription to deal with the anxiety in our lives. Lord, help us to claim the peace that transcends all understanding. Thank you for this chance to worship together, Lord, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. So into this world of post-pandemic data, 60% of women, young women between the ages of 18 and 24 have an anxiety disorder. This is our benediction today, coming directly from the words of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I pray that we can really go in peace. Amen.